Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Cash and Carry Kitchens. Transform your home with the warmth of an Irish-made kitchen. Cashandcarrykitchens.ie.
Let's return to the Middle East now, where it is being reported that Hamas is attempting a last-minute push to include the names of one or two symbolic prisoners from its movement held in Israeli prisons to be released under this deal. For the very latest, I'm joined on the line now by Alistair Bunkle, who's Sky News Middle East correspondent. Good morning, Alistair, and thank you for being with us. So we had Israel this morning, Benjamin Netanyahu saying, hold on a second, we're going to delay our cabinet meeting on this deal. So what are Hamas trying to do?
Well, we don't know exactly what Hamas is now demanding as a sort of last minute concession and to what extent Netanyahu's statement is true. I mean, I'm hearing from people in Doha, where the talks have been taking place, that people are pretty relaxed there. They think the deal has been agreed. But we do have this obstacle that's been put forward by the Israeli government. They said that the security cabinet's not going to meet until those obstacles are cleared. There is another issue, though, at stake, which probably plays into all of this, and that's a domestic Israeli issue. Bezalel Smotrich, who is the far-right finance minister, is meeting with his party to decide whether or not they would support the deal, whether they'd vote in favour of the deal at the security cabinet, or perhaps even withdraw from the government altogether. So I think there's a number of things going on at the moment, sort of around the deal, that is holding it up for now.
So despite the fact that that meeting being led by the far-right finance minister is happening, you're still hearing from Doha that the negotiators are relaxed about this?
Yes, they don't seem to be too concerned. I mean, everybody, obviously, given the announcement last night, wants this now to proceed without any further hiccups. But I think the expectation from them is that it will do. But, you know, Netanyahu has to contend with his own domestic politics. This is not a universally popular deal in Israel. I don't know whether you can hear. I'm at the side of a protest outside the Knesset, the Israeli parliament, which is an anti-deal protest. And this is led by relatives of IDF soldiers who have been killed in Gaza, who think that the deal amounts to an Israeli surrender against Hamas. They want the war to continue. So, as I say, there is Israeli domestic politics at play as well here for Netanyahu to try and navigate.
Yeah, and we can hear that protest in the background, but I'm sure the families of the hostages are keen for this to happen as soon as possible.
Most of them are. There are factions within the hostage groups who also support the continuation of the war. But yeah, most of them are relieved that this deal has been agreed, and they're now waiting very, very nervously for it to be approved by the Israeli Security Cabinet in the hope that come Sunday it will come into force and the first hostages will be released.
Now, we did see overnight that there were further bombings in Gaza, claims that over 70 people were killed. There was some hope earlier this morning, Alistair, that the deal might come into effect tonight rather than Sunday. Given that these internal issues have been raised now in Israel, it's unlikely that that will happen. Do you agree?
Yeah, I agree. I think that's very unlikely. You know, there is still a process to go through before the ceasefire can be implemented. It's not just the approval by the Israeli Security Cabinet that's required, but also we expect the Israeli Supreme Court to be given some time, perhaps, you know, 12, 24 hours, but given some time to consider any opposition to the deal. So what I mean by that is there's in excess of 1,000 Palestinian prisoners will be released from Israeli jails. Now, Israel classifies them as terrorists. If you know, a family member or a victim of any crime that those prisoners have been convicted for decides to challenge it in the Israeli Supreme Court, then the Supreme Court will need time to consider that. That kind of thing happened back in November 23 when there was that 7-day ceasefire deal. The Supreme Court can deal with these cases very, very quickly. It shouldn't slow the deal down too much, but I think these are the things that need to happen between now and Sunday if a ceasefire is going to come into force.
All right, interesting times ahead and interesting hours ahead. As we can hear that protest, an anti-deal protest, as Alistair explained to us. Alistair Bunkle, thank you very much for joining us. Well, I'm joined now on the line by Dr. Mohamed Salah, who's acting director of Al Auda Hospital, a partner of Action Aid Ireland. Dr. Salah, thank you for being with us today. I know that your own hospital is one of the very last active in northern Gaza. Can you tell us what things are like there right now?
Yes, actually, we are in Lauda Hospital in the Northern Gaza Strip. The last hospital started providing services for people here in the north after the Israeli occupation forces destroyed Kamal Adwan Hospital and Indonesia Hospital, and now they are out of service. But actually, till now, the Israeli occupation forces bombing surrounding the hospital, shooting a lot from this night until now. These 3 days is the dangerous day till the Sunday when the ceasefire start. I think it will be the dangerous day. So because they are shooting a lot, bombing a lot surrounding the hospital and in the hospital, to the hospital directly. Actually, before 10 minutes, they are bombing El Andonesia Hospital, direct target of El Andonesia Hospital, and there is 15 patients and 10 of staff still inside the hospital. They are not functioning hospital, but at least there is people there, but they are bombing with shells. They are bombing the Andonesia Hospital, and from the night until now, they are still bombing the hospitals. Yesterday, they allow finally after 3.5 months, and the hospital is without any of medication, medical supplies, and the fuel. They are not.
Okay, Mohammed, we are hoping your line will hold.
Now to the WHO to make any coordination to.
Okay, Mohammed, your line just broke up there slightly. So just bear with us for a moment, because I just want to be clear on what you're saying. The hospital where you are today, there is shooting happening right outside. Is that what you're telling us?
Yes, the hospital now, they are shooting and bombing surrounding Lauda Hospital. From the night till now, they are bombing and shooting. I told you that these 3 days, the Thursday, Friday, Saturday will be the dangerous day, because they are focused and they are bombing a lot, especially in the north. And because of that, all of the people, all of the staff, and also the patient inside the hospital, we are really afraid that any of them, they are targeting in the last 3 days. So because of that, I told you, it will be dangerous days.
Okay. And this announcement that we've had that a ceasefire may be imminent, is there a sense of hope that things will change quickly?
Yes, I think that's not be quickly, because the infrastructure of the Northern Gaza Strip will be not ready. They need more than 2 to 3 months to make infrastructure for people to come to have a tent here. We don't have houses. 95% of houses totally destroyed, and the rest 5% of houses is partially destroyed. So really, we. Now from the Auda Hospital, I can see the UNRWA clinic, the ground floor for UNRWA clinic. And it's far away, more than 1.5 kilometers from Auda Hospital, because all the houses from Auda Hospital to UNRWA clinic in Jabalia camp, it's totally destroyed. So I can see the ground floor of UNRWA clinic. So actually, there is the infrastructure is totally destroyed. So because of that, I have my family in the south. And really, we are a strong family, but we can't deal with this situation. How I will bring them, where I will put them in the north, but how is the marginalized family has to deal? If the strong family can't deal with this situation, how is the marginalized and poor family?
Okay, well, Mohammed, we thank you for joining us, and we hope that there are better days ahead. Dr. Mohammed Salah there, who is in Gaza, acting director of Al Auda Hospital. Coming up next on the programme, British people wanting to buy their dream home in Spain could be facing a 100% tax. We're going to find out more after this.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.